Well, a few weeks ago here at Connoisseur Media, we had the pleasure of welcoming several dozen representatives of nonprofits across the region, large and small, to kind of a nonprofit summit to try to create a power in numbers for our service agencies and nonprofits. And I had the pleasure of meeting my guest this morning, Susan Brown, who is the leader and founder of Purple Pantry Boxes. This is a 100% volunteer organization, and that means 100% of all the donations go directly to feeding people in the greater Milford area that are in need. And she's looking to make her local network stronger, both in terms of proliferation of the boxes and volunteers, and hopefully carry this on to other communities within our listening area with your help, listeners. Thank you so much for that. We'll get into our conversation and find out all about it after we help celebrate another of our regular guests here on the award-winning For the People. You've heard all about the progress of this project on our program here as it developed, and we're proud to share that McCall Behavioral Health Network is poised for the grand opening and ribbon cutting of Hotchkiss House, their newly renovated recovery residence up in Torrington. It's reopening on May 18th and serving most of Western Connecticut. Hotchkiss House is going to operate as a level 3.1 mixed gender residential treatment and recovery home with 11 beds, providing structured supportive care for individuals on their path to recovery. The program offers the same high quality services and level of care as McCall House, expanding access to critical residential treatment in the community and the communities they serve. If you or somebody you love needs to heal from substance use disorders, mental health disorders, or both, you can learn more and reach out and get the help you need from our partners at McCall. It's McCallBHN for McCall Behavioral Health Network. McCallBHN.org is their website. All right. Good morning, Susan. Great to talk to you again.
Good morning. So nice to speak with you.
So we didn't really delve too much into the backstory. As soon as I heard what you're doing, I was like, we got to get you on For the People. And here just a couple weeks later, you're on the line with us, which is fantastic. You know, you have really, you know, with a small boutique cause, you have really set out to address hunger and food insecurity in a big way. From all appearances, it looks like this initial effort is going really successfully. We'll get into the discussion of how this all came together, but let's hear a little bit more about you. What's your background and what led you to taking up this cause?
I'm laughing. My background is that I am a retired public defender. I was a public defender for almost 34 years, and Purple Pantry Boxes started because I asked for permission to put a food pantry at the courthouse that I was working in. It was right before the pandemic hit, and people were struggling with making such difficult choices, you know, pay a speeding fine or buy diapers, pay a speeding fine and buy food, taking care of families. There just wasn't extra money. It was, what can we do? And I was like, if we can bring food in, we would be taking care of such a need and take away some of the impossible choices that everyday folks are making every day. And it took 3 months. And the judicial department said that I could not do that and that it would be a security hazard. So I'm sarcastic and I'm glib. I own it. And I said, what? Are they afraid people will throw cans of tuna at each other? Now, fast forward only 3 months, because I was told no in December of 2019, the pandemic hit and everything was shutting down in March of 2020. So the idea was already in my head, and the goal was get food to people, take the barriers away, make it easy. And we started pushing food out into the community March of 2020. We've never put food near a courthouse. you know, we were told no, we accept the no. But 6 years later, we have Purple Pantry boxes in 6 different cities in the area, 13 of which are in Milford, because that is where we started.
Mm-hmm. And tell us a little bit about how it all came together. Did you base the design of the boxes and the way they are made to take and dispense donations on another similar type of, like, you know, little library or something?
No, we honestly didn't think about the little libraries. But when we started, we were using plastic bins, and obviously the plastic bins were being taken because that's what happens. And we had a sign on them: please don't take the bins.
Yeah, they have handles. They have handles. They're supposed to go.
They are. But in the beginning, we actually we never took a book out, and we never did. But there were some little mini libraries that were empty, and we put food in those. And so we did use them. And then as the summer season was getting ready to start, we got a note saying, stop using our little libraries.
Yes.
I was like, okay.
Your own little cease and desist nudge.
Listen, I don't need the police coming to my door.
No,
okay.
No. We got your food, lady. Now come with us.
So... Yeah. By then, one of my neighbors, who is a carpenter by hobby, and he's magnificent. He makes beautiful things. And he started making the Purple Pantry boxes. So we used the libraries to expand our network, but he was already building the pantries. We definitely don't have me touch a saw or a hammer or a nail, because it would be ugly. It would not work. But he has taken care of the pantries all 6 years, and he's just a fantastic human being. He doesn't charge us anything. In the beginning, he didn't even charge us for materials. As we've gotten a little bit stronger and had more financial resources, we now pay him for the wood and the supplies. But he was donating everything.
So knowing what I do about the separate 169 municipalities here in Connecticut, each with their own individual personalities and in some instances, sets of rules for doing things like this, can you just give us a minute or two on how you were able to actually get these boxes sited and operating, whether it's in Milford or in one of the other communities where they're currently operating?
Sure. Well, even though I was a lawyer, which I am not anymore, I never even thought about needing to ask permission. I was a public defender. I never did any other kind of laws. The only law I ever did. So I was like, well, this is public space. So we started putting pantries out, and we didn't ask permission. I'm not saying I was right. I clearly wasn't. Now we have been told that we need to ask permission. So when someone from another city approaches us wanting to do a pantry, the first thing I say to them is, whose land is it? And you have to investigate what permissions you need to do this. Okay. I can't handle that responsibility for another city. And in Milford, they never made us take our pantries away. And now we only put them on land with the permission of the owner.
So if somebody that's listening says, I really want to start this movement in my community, their first call should be to you, but then they should be planning to not only work with their municipality, but possibly, be prepared to face either a few hoops to jump through, or maybe even an initial, no, can't do that here.
I think that a lot of the barriers have been taken away.
Oh, good.
people, you know, especially the civic groups and the religious groups, they're seeing how people are suffering and how people need help. Mm. So barriers are being removed, and it's being made easier. This weekend, there's the grand opening of a Purple Pantry box at the community house in Brantford. If they had big hoops to go through, they did not share any of those difficulties. And that's mm-hmm. Brantford's second Purple Pantry box, because the other one's at the Y. Mm-hmm. And they were like, nope, it's ours, we can do it. And I was like, fine. I'm not going to investigate whether someone is telling me the truth or not. Yeah. I assume people are telling me the truth.
Good. So it seems on face, and we haven't really technically defined this yet, but it's a pretty simple concept. It's, you want the kind of food that can sustain itself in our fabulous Connecticut weather patterns. And donors put the food in, folks that are hungry come and take the food out, right? It's that simple?
Almost. Where the Purple Pantry box is located, if it's in Milford, then we take full responsibility for filling those pantries every day. And some of the pantries get filled twice a day. The commitment that another group makes to us, as we provide them with all of the training and education to maintain a pantry box, and we give them the pantry box, we have guidelines, and we say that it has to be filled at least once a day. It doesn't matter who's putting food in. You always have to check the food that's in there, and if you didn't put it in as your organization, then you need to make sure that the food is safe and appropriate. So every pantry is visited at least once a day by someone in charge to make sure that the food is appropriate and it's stocked. Now, in this day and age, if you fill a pantry once a day, it's going to be empty for more hours of the day than mm-hmm. I care to mention, because it makes me very sad, which is why we're now filling many pantries twice a day.
Yeah. Well, it all starts, there's an old saying about, taking one person to begin to make the difference for many. And you certainly stepped into that area of responsibility, as have your cohorts and volunteers, Susan Brown. Folks, if you want to learn more about this organization, you can go to purplepantryboxes.com. I know as we broadcast this on the 17th of May, they've got a big golf tournament, the fourth annual Purple Pantry Boxes Golf Tournament, which is going to be happening. But some other dates to remember, you can actually meet Susan and some of her team either at the Milford United Way Duck Race in downtown Milford on May 30th, of course at the Milford Oyster Festival on August 14th and 15th, but they also have a fundraiser coming up on Thursday, August 6th, that's called the Rose Soiree at Stonebridge, and that's going to benefit Purple Pantry Boxes with a percentage of proceeds as well. And then the big event on September 19th, in the last minute that we have, Susan, we'll close it out with your invitation to the Purple Pantry Party.
We have a birthday party every March. So we've had it this year. Next year will be our seventh birthday party, and it's a fundraiser. It's free to attend. And the fundraiser is because of raffle prizes, and those are donated. We live in such a wonderful and helpful community, and we really survive on donations. Yes, we get grant money. We're now working actually with the state of Connecticut for the first time. We are actually on their budget. So we are going to be getting money from the state, which we've never gotten any governmental money before. But because we are in now six communities and we are growing, and people are really realizing that it doesn't matter what community you live in, you've got folks who are struggling with food insecurity. Sure. There are people who are going to work every day and can't afford all of their bills. Mm. And as a society, we should be caring about all of our people.
Yeah.
Well, we always say that food is a right. It is not a privilege. And we will keep getting food out to people. We also do home delivery. We don't just do our pantries. We do home delivery in Milford and West Haven, which is what we can handle with our volunteer system.
Great. Susan Brown, founder and leader at Purple Pantry Boxes. You can find out more, find out how to get involved, find out how to benefit the cause. Just go to purplepantryboxes.com and get in on this purple movement to address hunger and food insecurity in your community, or to help fortify the purple pantry boxes that may already be there. Susan, great to talk to you. Great to meet you. And I'm sure we'll be talking again.
This year, experience the NHL playoffs your way. Want to watch a single? Do or Die Game 7, a full week of heavy-hitting back-and-forth series. Then check out Sling's 1-3 and 7-day passes. Watch The Chase for the Cup on ESPN and TNT, starting as low as $4.99. No long-term contracts or overpaying. Just live hockey at home or when you want it. Sling lets you do that. Visit sling.com to learn more.